Dr. Shabir, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
Pleasure to be on.
Among many religions, there's been a discussion about how God created things. Did God create the world eternally, or was there a sort of beginning point? And Dr. Shabir, many scholars in the past have weighed in on this. There's been brutal debates, I believe. And there's one particular scholar, Ibn Taymiyyah, who has a very interesting perspective. So I thought we could talk about what Ibn Taymiyyah has about this. But maybe to begin, you can kind of set the stage by talking about the discussion among scholars.
Yes. So outside of Islam, especially in Judaism and Christianity, this matter was discussed widely. The Bible in the book of Genesis begins by saying, in the beginning of God creating the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So some people have looked at this and they said, oh, so it looks like the water existed before the creation. So the creation was not totally out of nothing. There was already something there. Moreover, the book of Genesis says that things were in a state of disorder, and it seems that God created order out of that disorder. So it's not like everything started out from a blank slate or from a total nothingness. But in the second century of Christianity, some scholars like Gerhard May and more recently Frank McGrath in his book The Only True God have pointed out that in the second century of Christianity, it looks like discussions that occurred among Christians led some to think that the most correct belief for Christians to hold would be that God created the universe from nothing. And that became quickly a very standard belief. And throughout the Middle Ages, this was widely accepted eventually by Jewish scholars as well, and also by Muslim scholars, because they all shared similar types of discussions and ideas of a philosophical nature. So more to the point, the Muslim scholars, who are referred to as the Kalam scholars — Kalam means something like speech, so this is like dialectical theologians. So the dialectical theologians of Islam adopted the same idea that the universe was created from nothing. But then we have philosophers entering the scene, Muslim philosophers like Al-Farabi and Ibn Sina. And they came up with a different idea. They thought, like some Greek philosophers thought, that God is so perfect that he's not going to deal with a changing world directly. So there must be a sort of emanation from God that happens, shall I say, naturally or automatically, where, let's say God is pure thought, and they put it in some philosophical way by saying God would have been pure thought thinking itself. And when God contemplates himself, like something like a thought is born. And this, so one thing leads to another that leads to another, eventually that leads to this
entire
universe
creation.
As an emanation from God. But that emanation would have been always the case. So there never would have been a time when the universe did not exist as an emanation from God, and something that is totally dependent upon God. So they would speak about God, like, what's the distinction between God and the creation then? If the creation always existed, why isn't that a God? Well, the answer from them is that, and this is philosophically valid, that the universe as creation is dependent upon God. The universe is contingent, and God is a necessary being. So the universe may or may not exist. It doesn't have to exist, but God has to exist. God exists by himself, by necessity, and it cannot be otherwise. So that's the great distinction. So now, the debate seemed locked between these two positions. One is the position of the Kalam scholars, the Muslim dialectical theologians.
Who are saying there's a beginning.
There's a beginning. From nothing, God eventually created the universe. And time began with this creation as well. Whereas the philosophers among Muslims, like Ibn Sina and Al-Farabi, said that, it's been an emanation from God from all time. There never was a time when this creation did not exist. And weighing in on this debate, we have a scholar who became famous in Islamic history, Al-Ghazali, died in the year 505 of the Muslim era, 1111, an easy date to remember, in the common era. So we're talking about close to 1,000 years ago, more than 1,000 years ago, 1,010 years ago. So he railed against the philosophers, because he also took the view that the universe was created, from nothingness. Mm-hmm. And so he thought that the philosophers were way out of whack here. You know, it's as if they're treating the creation as always and eternally existing, and therefore this is like, another eternal along with God and so on. So he didn't like that too much. But came Ibn Rushd. Ibn Rushd responded to Al-Ghazali. Al-Ghazali wrote a book called The Incoherence of the Philosophers, in Arabic, Tahafut al-Falasifa. And Ibn Rushd wrote a response to that, which is entitled Tahafut al-Tahafut, The Incoherence of the Incoherence. And in his book, he defends an idea which is similar to the idea of the philosophers before him, but it's with a nuance. He says that, yes, the creation always existed, but it's not the same items in creation that always exist, because the creation changes. Mm-hmm. One thing is created from another thing that was created from another thing that was created from another thing, but no one thing exists perpetually. Mm-hmm. A similar idea, and this is what is surprising now. Ibn Rushd, by the way, I just mentioned his name without much introduction. He's a famous scholar in Islamic history as well. He is from Andalus, which was the Muslim part of Spain at that time, the Iberian Peninsula. And he has written much in Islamic tradition. He wrote a very important book called Bidayatul Mujtahid, which is a primer for anyone who wants to start thinking about giving verdicts in Islamic law. So he was a jurist in his own right. He was a judge, so he knew his subject. He knew Islam thoroughly, but he was also like philosophical in his outlook. He wrote a lot about philosophy, reason, and revelation, and the harmony between them. So that's how the matter was left in as a philosophical discourse. Surprisingly, now Ibn Taymiyyah, who is a major scholar in our history, well known for his adherence to tradition, so far from the philosophical schools, mm-hmm. he espoused an idea which is similar to the idea of Ibn Rushd, though that idea seems to be based largely on philosophy. But Ibn Taymiyyah grounds this in the Quran and in the Muslim tradition.
So what's his proof? Because he was very big on proof, right? Like the Quran and the Hadith.
Yes.
So where does he get his evidence from?
So before I say that, I must even say where I get my evidence from. Like, how did I know that Ibn Taymiyyah has this view? Well, two main sources about this. One is a doctoral thesis that was done in 1965 at Cambridge University by a certain Hossam al-Alusi. His thesis was eventually published in Lebanon. And in this thesis, he drew attention to Ibn Taymiyyah's view about this, and he has expounded it in some detail. The other source is Ron Hoover. Ron Hoover has, John Hoover. John Hoover has become an expert on all things relating to the Hanbali school of Islamic jurisprudence, starting with Ibn Hanbal himself, the eponym behind the school, and great scholars of the school, such as Ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Now, John Hoover wrote an article, a scholarly academic article, detailing Ibn Taymiyyah's view on this subject. And he bases this largely on a translation of a fatwa that is part of the large collection of fatwas of Ibn Taymiyyah. It's a 37-volume collection. Like, literally, it's the span of this collection is this wide, mm-hmm. on our bookshelf at home. So in one of these fatwas, he's expounding a hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari that says basically that when God created the heavens and the earth, there was nothing prior to God, and then God created the heavens and the earth, and at that time, the throne was on the water. And expounding this, Ibn Taymiyyah refers also to a verse from the Quran, the 11th chapter, the 7th verse, which says, "Huwalladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa kana 'arshuhu 'ala al-ma'." The translation given to this verse in the study Quran goes something like, "He is the one who created the heavens and the earth while his throne was on the water."
Mm-hmm.
So given a translation like that, what it seems to imply is that before God created the heavens and the earth, the throne was already on the water. So that means apart from God, there was already the throne of God and there was water. So something existed before this creation.
Mm-hmm.
So Ibn Taymiyyah, based on this and other hints, says that on the one hand, there is nothing in the Quran or the Hadith that clearly and definitively indicates that the universe was created from nothing. So those who have that view, they have it for philosophical reasons. It's not based on the tradition. On the other hand, he's seeing hints in the tradition and in the Quran, as we have already mentioned, pointing to the existence of other things along with God prior to the creation of the world. So he thinks that, along with Ibn Rushd before him, that the universe is created from something, which is created from something else, from something else, from something else, and creation always existed, but as the philosophers had maintained, in a state of dependence on God. God mm-hmm. is the necessary being, and the universe is contingent, depending upon God. And no one thing exists apart from God eternally, but the creation as a whole exists always with God. So there never was a time when the creation did not exist.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Shabir, why do you think Ibn Taymiyyah's view is so important? What are the implications of his ideas?
Well, I stumbled upon this view in my recent research because for a long time in my debates with our Christian friends, I've always heard the objection to the Islamic view of God in this way. Our Christian friends say, you know, we believe in the Trinity, and in the Trinity we have three persons loving each other. But if you go with the Unitarian view of other Christians and of Muslims, with God being just simply one person, then before God created the universe, there would have been no person to love. God would have been alone. And we answered that by saying, okay, but God could love his creatures in his foreknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways of dealing with that we have advanced. But now, through this recent research, stumbling upon this view of Ibn Taymiyyah, I have confidence in also saying that if we take this view, then there never was a time when God was alone. Because God always had his creatures to love and always loved them, loved his creatures. Yeah. So this adds a new and I think a very significant dimension to our discussions in interfaith dialogues.
Dr. Shabir, you mentioned God loving his creatures in advance. What does that even mean?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a common idea among Jews, Christians, and Muslims that God has foreknowledge of all things. He knows what creatures he's going to create in the future. Knowing the creature allows him to love those creatures in advance, at least in a basic way. We have memories of our departed loved ones, and we still love them in our own minds. Like, I still love your grandma, both of them, right? So we love them even though they're not here. So from God's perspective, he can love his creatures before they're even here because he knows them in his foreknowledge.
Thank you for sharing those thoughts, Dr.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed this video, click like and subscribe. And please donate to support our work at QuranSpeaks.com.